Today on Barca Talk, La Liga returns this weekend after a stunning comeback for FC Barcelona in the Champions League against Inter Milan. Barca will face Sevilla this Sunday. This is our scouting report for the match. Hey, this is Barca Talk. I'm Brian. If you're new to the show, this is a podcast for Barca fans by Barca fans. We're ready for the weekend match with Sevilla. We've done our scouting, and this is our report. This is part of the episode we put out today for our supporters on Patreon. That Patreon episode has a full breakdown of the Champions League comeback over Inter Milan, too. We'll have a trimmed down version of that Champions League review on Monday's episode. If you want to hear the full discussion, and sooner than later, become a patron right now. Next week, during international break, we'll be releasing a special episode for patrons only in our Barca Legends series about Carles Reschach, a Blaugrana boy to his core, a friend, teammate, and assistant to Johan Cruyff, and the man who signed the historic napkin that brought Lionel Messi to Barcelona. Become a patron for $5 a month, and you'll be able to listen to that and all our other patron-only episodes. There's a link in the show notes, or go to the support page of barcatalk.net to become a patron. Now. All right, now let's scout Sevilla. For this weekend in La Liga, this is going to be match day 8. Sevilla are coming to the Camp Nou. And looking at Sevilla, you know, Julen Lopetegui may have found a home, finally, at Sevilla. Of course, they just signed him over the summer break. And so far, Sevilla's record is pretty good. They've got 4 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses. And I wanted to look into this because, as we know, he sort of jilted the Spanish national team, left them dangling in the World Cup to go to Real Madrid. Not that he couldn't have done it. That whole situation bothers me. But in any case, he apparently crashed and burned at Real Madrid, and he was gone after 14 matches. But he actually did start pretty well there. At this same point last season, at Real Madrid, they had 5 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. So just 1 game difference. And then later, after that, 3 straight losses in La Liga, ending with Barca's 5-1 defeat. That was the end of his time at Real Madrid. But now he's at Sevilla, and he has them playing an attacking 4-3-3 every game. And is that redundant? Is there a defensive 4-3-3?
I mean, if you wanted to go defensive, you just pull your wingers back more. Right. That's the only thing you would probably do more, but yeah.
But like, why would you even have a 4-3-3 if you wanted to be defensive?
Exactly.
But anyway, they have been playing very consistently in this same formation, this 4-3-3. And they don't have as many goals, but they have conceded fewer goals than Barca. They've scored 10, conceded 7. Meanwhile, Barcelona has scored 16, but conceded 10. So will this come down to, since we're both going to be playing 4-3-3s, do you think this will come down to which midfield performs better?
I think so. Was this last year that Lopetegui was at Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My time sense is I thought it was 2 years ago. gosh. Wow, I can't believe that was just last year. I mean, yeah, to answer your question, pretty much. I mean, it's, again, we saw Vidal come into the Inter game, so I'm curious if he gets the start this weekend. Because if he does get the start, I definitely think gives us a better chance of winning the midfield battle. But again, Brian, it's always going to be the same thing throughout this season. As I've been watching the Champions League and other La Liga teams, it's their youthfulness and energy and pressing and how we counter that. I mean, because it doesn't matter which 3 midfield we put there, we're naturally going to be slower than whatever midfield we're playing. So that's already going to be a big issue. It doesn't matter. I mean, we saw in the Inter match, we've seen in other previous Osasuna, we saw these type of things. So again, Lopetegui knows the scouting report. His midfield is playing really well in that they're young, they're attacking, they're pressing more importantly. And so that's really going to be the battle. It's going to be, if we can possess the ball, play solid keep away with good attacking chances, then we should have a really good result. But if we are sloppy with possession and we cannot break the press, it's going to be a long day for our midfield for sure.
Yeah. Remember the days when nobody pressed us? Everyone just sat back and tried to absorb it.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to continue to do it until we do something about
it. We do better. I mean,
then it's not even that. It's not even a matter of do better. It's just It's such a simple tweak, Brian. It's not even any, but it's obviously not a classic 4-3-3 if you make the tweak, but at the same time, it makes it easier for everyone. You break the press, they're not going to press you anymore.
Right, right. Well, you know, a couple of things, because you mentioned the youth of the Sevilla squad, and I did a little bit of tabulation of their midfielders who have had the most minutes. I took the top four. They have about, I believe, seven, I want to say, total players who are classified as midfielders on transfer market. I took the top four minute getters, and the average age among them, because Ever Banega is still playing tons of minutes, and he's 31, maybe 33, I forget. But the average age comes out to about 28. Meanwhile, if you look at our top four midfield minute getters, and if you include Sergio Roberto, because all we have are like total minutes, it comes in more at like 27, 26. So average age, we're basically equal. I'm not going to say that that's an edge one way or the other as far as age, but like generally, we're roughly pretty equal. I think the main thing is Busquets was looking a little bit tired. So he got pulled, but then Vidal, you know, he's a veteran. He's an older player as well. The only thing is he hasn't been playing quite as much, so he might be a little bit fresher. But also in that Inter match, he played a different role. He had a different sort of function in the midfield than Busquets. And I thought that not only his style of play, his, you know, his physicality, his aggression, his passing and things like that, but the liberty he was given to sort of take the point of the midfield, but also just be wherever he needed to be, side to side, very different from Busquets.
For sure. I mean, the thing for me on this is Vidal is not 90 minutes sustainable.
No.
That's the thing. And all the La Liga teams know how to play us. They're going to sustain that for at least 80 minutes, not like Inter that faded away after the 60th minute by doing all that pressing and so forth. Because all these teams have played Barcelona now. I mean, they understand what it takes to press them for 80 minutes. So to me, I don't know, if you start Vidal, fine, and you give him that liberty, fine, but that's not going to last past 60 minutes. He's going to fade.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reason, you know? And everyone, you know, wants him to start more because of the performance, but I think it underlays too many of our problems that we have at Barca. Now, when I talk about the age thing, like you said, yeah, I understand maybe the ages are comparable, but there's just something with the amount of matches that we've played in those legs. So, you know, our players, it feels like that's two extra seasons compared to the players of Sevilla, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had Champions League, but it's just the amount, if we're looking at games throughout the last 4 years, let's say. The other thing, too, is, you know, whenever I watch, you know, for example, I was watching Ajax last night, and just seeing, you know, the recent teams we played, like Granada and Osasuna, for example, these teams are not scared of us anymore, and they're getting in our face, and they just don't care. And we don't have the talent anymore at this moment, right, with Barca's midfield, that is able to shake those people off the press and make them pay for pressing. A lot of times, you know, especially if we look at the last losses that we had on the road, we weren't able to counteract, and also we started really, really slow. Thankfully, we're going to be at home for this game, but it's going to be a super difficult game as well.
Yeah, because like you mentioned, I mean, Osasuna, Granada, these are already, or even Getafe, these are teams that are not afraid of us, and there's certainly no reason why Sevilla would be afraid of us.
For sure. I mean, they're playing well right now, you know? I mean, they lost to Real Madrid last weekend, but, besides that, they were playing pretty well. And Lopetegui has them on a good rotation, especially on their front three. And those guys are young, and they just want to score goals, and they're really direct. I mean, you forget that they have Nolito in the back pocket. You know, he scored a really nice goal a couple weeks ago or a couple games ago. And again, Lopetegui, I think, like you said, he may have found a home where it's the right level of club for him, with not so much pressure from like the Real Madrid kind of bubble. And also, they're going to be more patient with him because they have realistic expectations. So again, I'm just curious to see what we do with our midfield and what are we going to do with that press, because we know they're going to press us. We just know it.
Yeah. And when I don't know if there's any way to prove this, but I think disagree with you that when you say we don't have the talent in the midfield to shut down and break up the press. I think we do have the talent in the players. What I think we're missing is the training and the and the system and the tactics to break down the press. I mentioned this to you when we were off air at one point about, you know, I have a lot of experience in music, and I can tell you from that experience that what you hear or see on stage is exactly what happened in rehearsal, right? Nothing magical happens when you get up on stage. Nothing magical happens when you're in your match day kit and the referee blows his whistle. You're going to play just about the same way as you did in training, and the match will be played in the way that you trained. So whatever, however the time is spent in training during the week, that's how the games are going to go. And I think we do have the talent. The players are there. The talent is there to handle something like a press and break it up. We have Arthur. We have Busquets. I think De Jong has the talent to do that. I think Sergio Roberto has the talent to do that. He hasn't seen any minutes hardly, but Carlos Alenia can clearly do that. We have faith in him to do that. It's a matter of how the training time is being spent. Clearly, it is not. This is my view of things. Clearly, it's not being spent on working on breaking up a press.
I see your point, but I'm still going to disagree in two things. Yes, they should train. Yeah, I think that's part of it. But I think our midfield right now, we don't really have a player right now that can take defenders 1v1 like we used to, you know, like a Thiago, like a Xavi Iniesta, that type of player. So what we're depending a lot of is, you know, precise passing and moving around. And we're still not even doing that really that well.
Right.
Right. So that's what I'm talking about, is the talent part of it. Yeah. I know if they train maybe more and they worked on a little bit of press, they would do it. But the other thing is, again, it goes back to the coaching aspect of that, where the coach is not putting the players in the best position and coming up with ideas to break the press. I mean, remember when Luis Enrique came onto the team and the team started pressing us, he brought Neymar and Messi back down to be another outlet. And all of a sudden we had these, remember how many counterattacking goals we were getting off the press? And all of a sudden the teams had to lay off because that was the counter to that, right?
Right.
And now we haven't been able to counter that counter.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing is, you know, I'm just, you know, as we critique and I'm frustrated with this, I just think that there's easier solutions to fix this problem with the talent that we have, but just put them in better positions so that not only is it aesthetically more pleasing, we're scoring goals and it's easier victories. Like, there's no reason why we should still be struggling against Getafe with the talent that we have, you know? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, like that type of comparison. I know this match is going to be difficult because it's going to be, you know, basically to see where Sevilla is as well, because they just played Real Madrid and now they're playing at Barcelona, so they're going to be up for it. And again, it just, with this whole midfield aspect, you know how I feel about the 4-3-3. I just don't think we have the right midfield for it.
Right, right. And with injuries and said, well, Messi and Dembele seem to be back now, so maybe not. But up until that moment with the forwards, we didn't have enough forwards necessarily to really pull it off. But now we do.
Yeah, I mean, this is the other aspect of it. It's, we're just a whole mishmash up there at the front three where we're still really, really static.
Yeah.
And again, I don't care what sport you play, hockey, basketball, American football, or soccer. If you're static, you're so easy to defend.
Yeah.
So easy to defend, you know? And
it is hard to be totally static on ice, though. I'll say that for
hockey. That is true. That is true. That is true. But still,
but there's,
you know,
degrees.
It's much easier if you're not. There's degrees.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get into the friction and all this type of thing, but yes, there's different degrees. Yes.
Yeah.
But again, it's just, we're still lacking that connection with the midfield and the front attacking three with, you know, it's just, again, this is our preseason and I just don't understand. You know, I know we had a difficult preseason traveling, but at the same time, I just, what are they doing in practice? You know, that's what I want to know. Are the three that are going to play in the game actually playing on the same team, right? Just like is your metaphor with the music thing, or is it just a mishmash of people? And then he goes, okay, this weekend we're going to play this guy, and this guy. And they're like, oh, we haven't even practiced together.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, we'll never know because it's all closed doors.
Sure. So. And for good reason, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't want too much opposition research going on. But speaking of scoring and forwards and scoring threats, Sevilla and this is going to be problematic, I think, Sevilla has a number of scoring threats. There's no one or two players who you can really focus on. Midfielders, Juan Jordan and Franco Vasquez, along with forwards Nolito and Lucas Ocampos, have all scored two goals apiece. And left back Sergio Reguilón, on loan from Real Madrid, he's also scored one and provided one assist. So they have a number of scoring threats. If, you know, those five guys are playing, that's five threats right there.
For sure. And the other thing, too, they are coming from every direction. They're coming up the middle, the width. They're putting service all over. So, again, it's going to be a difficult time defending. This is what I would love to see from Barca right now, especially since we are not playing our typical tiki-taka. We have to score goals, and I want to see this type of attack, especially with the talent that we have at the front three. You know, I know that maybe a cross here and a cross there is going to be dispossessed, but at least you're trying, you know, and that's what makes Sevilla very difficult. Like, for example, the Nolito goal is almost like a carbon copy of what Suarez did against Inter with a volley. The other goal I saw, they came up from the middle. Another one I saw was a header. So again, they're just coming from all over, and it's going to be difficult, especially with Semedo, who's probably going to play left back.
Right, right, exactly. And let me get into that detail at this point, because I want to talk about our defensive options at the moment. Semedo will probably have to fill in at left back again, right? Because Alba and Junior Firpo are currently injured. So just out of pure necessity, Semedo will probably have to fill in at left back again, which will almost certainly put Sergi Blue Eyes at right back. But, and I know you're going to see this coming, could this be a match for Wage?
I mean, I hope. I mean, I would love to see it. It is interesting to me that he still is going with Semedo, right? Because we saw, again, with the Inter match, how long did it take him to get link-up play on the right side with Dembele last year, right? Was it until February, March that we finally saw some clicking in that? And now we're asking him to go on the left side, and there's just no link-up play on that left side. So why not take a chance with Wage? I mean, I know it's Sevilla. I know it's going to be a tough match, but maybe you dictate the formation to a 4-4-2 to make it more conservative. Or I think that Wage is going to be a better presence to be able to take people one-on-one. And if anything, you just tell him to be more conservative and not go up as much. But I would be willing to take that chance. I'm just more of a if I were a coach, when I did coach, I just like taking more chances because I like to try different things and make sure they don't work, as opposed to being conservative and doing it that way.
Right.
Use the bench.
Right. Well, as we know, Valverde is risk averse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I think it causes him more problems than it needs to. But how would you feel about Wage at right back? Leave Semedo at left back because whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And put Sergi in the midfield. And I want to say that I'm bringing this up not because I'm no longer on some
on the bandwagon.
I'm not on some like huge campaign to get Sergi into the midfield. The fact is, he's a good utility player. You put him at right back, he's done it enough at this point. He knows what he's doing. You put him in the midfield, he's also strong. He has talents there, or he has skills there as well. Whatever, it's fine. So I'm just throwing it out there. It's not a campaign.
I hear you.
But what do you think about that option?
If I were the coach, what I would do is I would go Semedo on the left back, and I would go Wage on the right back. And I would change the formation to a 4-4-2 to protect both those players. Mm. That's what I would do if I were the coach.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not allowed to change and I have to go 4-3-3, then I would probably still continue, just because of this match, because you're heading to international break. You just need to get to 3 points. Don't stir up the pot. I would go Sergio Roberto right back, Semedo on the left, just like we did against Inter.
Right.
But I would just tell him to really focus on defensive responsibilities.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's going to be a shakeup in the defense as it is, right? Because Longley is going to have to miss this match, having been sent off in the last La Liga match. So Todibo will be paired up with PK. And I don't know. How well do you think they're going to dance together? Is it going to be a tango or a mosh pit?
I love this way you put in the notes, a mosh pit or a tango. I mean, I think it's going to be fine, you know, because I think PK knows that he can't take as many chances as he has been recently. As you know, I don't know why he's been taking more chances lately with lunging. I don't know if you've noticed this, especially against like the Inter goal and stuff. Just these things lead to counters. And especially when you were playing high up, right, at the midfield and we lack speed, that's the worst thing that you want is chasing 40 yards, right? And Ter Stegen can only do so many saves, you know, and that's the other thing. So I think that Todibo is a bit faster than Longley. So I think that's where we gain something there. Obviously, he doesn't have the experience of Longley playing in this system. So again, if I were the coach, you know, I would have gone 4-4-2, not only to protect the left back and the right back, but also Todibo as well, because that keeps you defensively sound. Now, I'm going to be interested to see if De Jong plays defensive mid and that he just hangs back more to protect Piqué and Todibo to make sure. It's going to be an interesting cat and mouse at the beginning, because it's going to see how much possession we can get, keep away, and how effective is the pressing of Sevilla. Because if their pressing is effective and we can't find the connection with Todibo and we're looking sloppy with Semedo and all, it's going to be hell for us. It's going to be a very long day. And so, again, if I were Lopetegui, I would say, man, the first 30 minutes, because why would you try to help them out and figure it out, right? Why would you not just go full press everyone the full third and just keep the pressure mounted? Because especially as we saw with Firpo, one mistake directly led to a goal.
Yeah.
Todibo, one mistake can directly lead to a goal as well. And who knows what could happen. So again, it's going to be interesting. I really hope that Piqué is more conservative, more directing, especially with that back line. I mean, this is a back line that is not the most ideal in any means.
Right.
And it just has to be sound. You know, they have to just communicate. And the other thing too is, you know, when Piqué takes chances, that exposes that center back to the whole, to basically 30 yards on side to side, you know, and all of a sudden it's a 2-on-1. And so you just got to keep your space, know when to take chances, and just read the play. Just keep everything in front of you, I would just say, to this game.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I just want to get the 3 points, get to international break, and just be in the thick of the race, reset, and then start again with Messi again, coming fresher and stronger.
Yeah. So as far as the center back pairing, you're looking for something more like the electric slide.
Yeah, I like it. You, the whole time you were thinking about a dance. I can see in your head that you were doing that.
Yeah,
I can see that.
But just nice and easy, predictable. Yeah.
And everyone knows it.
Yeah, everybody knows it.
Everyone knows it.
I never learned it, but I don't know. A Macarena, perhaps.
Okay, for example. Yeah. Yes, I just want an electric slide, which is easy. Don't take chances.
Yeah.
Move those hips a little bit so that you're dancing, but it's nothing too extreme.
Right. You get down on one knee at some point, you get back up. Anyway, that joke is over. So let's talk about Busquets real quick, because you mentioned the midfield already, but I want to come back to the midfield for just a second. Busquets came out in the Champions League match against Inter. He is looking a little tired to me at this point, or I don't know, maybe it was more of a tactical decision, but to me, he looked like his legs had pretty much had it. Should he get a break against Sevilla? And if so, what midfield would you have?
It's funny you ask this question. I don't, for me, it's not that he's looks tired. It's his passing game looks tired.
Mm.
I don't know if that makes sense. So
like he's just tired of passing so much.
No, it's just,
he's just over it.
No, what I mean is, it's not that he's not getting to balls. Like last night, he wasn't able to get to the 50-50 balls, or he wasn't sprinting back on defense or anything like this. It was just, when he passes now, it's really, really conservative. It's really conservative.
What do you mean by conservative?
So, for example, if he has a player in front of him, he's always going to go back into the corner available to the left back or right back.
Mm.
Okay? And so he's not taking chances up with through balls or trying to find people to connect with the forwards like he used to.
I see.
Yeah? And so it's almost like in American football where you do the check down to the running back. I don't know if that makes sense. So
I don't know anything about that.
Sorry. So basically, it's you're making the safest play available without taking any chances and not screwing up.
Right.
Which is really outside Busquets' realm. So like in last night's match, how many effective passes did he do that directly led to an attacking chance or some sort of really good buildup? It was very rare.
Yeah, I can't think
and so
of
that's,
many.
Yeah, exactly. And so the thing is, you know, before when he was with Xavi and Iniesta, he was pivotal on distributing that and then creating that press and stuff. And now that his passing isn't as good, he looks tired and the passing looks tired, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why when Vidal came in, it was like an automatic, injection, because not only was he more amped about it, but also he was trying to take direct chances going up the middle. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
So. So he was passing and taking those. Obviously, they were getting intercepted, but he was taking those chances.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference, you know? So you asked for the midfield. What midfield? I mean, for me, it's always going to be the most important. De Jong and Artur for the most important matches, and then whoever else. To me, the third one doesn't really matter at this point because we don't have anyone else dynamic. It's pretty much going to be the same guy. There's Rakitic, Vidal, Busquets. I mean, if you put Sergio Roberto, maybe he's a little bit more dynamic than those three guys, just in speed-wise. But to me, you're really not getting extra. You know, Rakitic brings you better defensive coverage, and he's solid. Vidal's going to take more chances up the middle. Busquets can read the ball better, but they're all not – they're all kind of over the hill right now. So
Alenia?
Alenia, but he's not getting any time. That's the thing. I mean, that's – I mean, I – you know, you're asking the midfield that I would use. I still wouldn't use him enough because I don't trust him enough to put him in there.
Yeah. But you would also, I think, still use Rakitic more than Valverde has this year.
I would. I would use Rakitic more. And I still – it still baffles me that he's still not getting any time at all. Because, you know, I still think he provides – he can give us value, you know.
Yeah.
And especially now – are we going to run Artur and De Jong into the ground? You know?
Well, at least they're young.
That is true. But again, you know, it's this whole idea again, which we'll talk about in the Inter match about substitutions. It's what's so wrong? What's so wrong with having a player play 70 minutes and just use a super sub for 20? So like, for example, you know.
What's so wrong with having a squad of 23 players and using all 23?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, you know, Rakitic, I would like to use more, you know, but that's not going to happen. So I personally, after the success of the Inter game, I could definitely see Valverde going with De Jong, Artur, and Vidal.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it too. Well, we'll see what happens come this weekend. And you will not be doing the match review with me come Monday. We're going to have a guest, part of the Barca Talk team, but he doesn't normally... do first team match reviews. Our Barca B correspondent Max Bleuer is going to be on with me. We're going to talk about the Sevilla match because you will be in jolly old London.
That's correct. Cheering on the Bears.
All right. So go Barca and go Bears. Become a patron now for just $5 a month. Get the full episode. We will be back on Monday with more. Visca Barca. Thank you.